Question mark. Who? I thought I'd call it the ghost stories, but you might get creeped out. We're talking about the holy who, the Holy Spirit. All right? The holy who. We're going to find out who he is. Notice I said he. It's not it. It's not an it. And that's what Sherry had shared several months ago. She was talking about the Holy Spirit, and I thought, oh, I'm ready. So here we go. We're going to just talk for the next several weeks until I get it all out of me, till you catch it all. So interesting, when I say the Holy Spirit, that you are either of two sides of the story. You're either like, oh, that's creeping me out. No, that's really weird. No. There's a lot of people that just go, I don't want to know anything about it. Creeps them out. All right? And that's because, okay, I'll tell you later. And or you're the bunch that you're not going to miss this Sunday because you want to be here. All right? So you're an either or. Now, let me tell you a little bit. Most of you know I was raised in North Jersey. Born in Brooklyn. Yay! Raised in North Jersey. Wow. And I grew up in a home where we were Catholic. You know, when you're Irish, you're Catholic, at least around where I grew up. So I was raised in the Catholic Church, and as I was talking to Diane, I thank God that I was. Now, I would rather have been born in a Christian home, but you know where. But I learned so much. And one of the things, being raised in a Catholic home, is we did our first communion. And I was downstairs today. I wanted to bring a picture up, and I could not find it. I found my sister. I was like, wait a minute, I want a picture of me. That's that thing, they don't have pictures of me. Well, you know, I'm not insecure, I'm going to get it. So, but anyway, in the Catholic Church, you receive communion at a special age. And then after that, when you get older, and I think it was around 12, 13, we made our confirmation. Confirmation. Do we have any Catholics here? You're always Catholic on the books, by the way. If you were born Catholic into a Catholic Church says you're still Catholic. Yep. They don't let you go. So I should say, are you a completed Catholic? So, amen. So it's interesting, being raised in this, when we had to go through classes. Try telling a 12-year-old they need to go to class to learn about this confirmation stuff. And what confirmation is, there'll come a day after you go through your classes that they'll have a church service, and the Catholics call it a mass. And they have mass, and you take up the first couple rows. You remember this? And the bishop comes. He's like up here. The bishop comes to pray for all the candidates that are going to get confirmed, and he lays hands on them. Right out of the Bible stuff. He lays hands on them, and he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that the quote, right? Receive the Holy Spirit.
He anoints you with oil.
Yes. Okay. So he anoints you all and he lays hands on you. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. D, receive the Holy Spirit. Dina, receive. And he goes to everybody. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. So that was my first intro, Holy Spirit stuff. Okay? So that was my first thing I'm hearing about the Holy Who, the Holy Spirit. And then we did this every night. Didn't matter if mom or dad or Warren with each other. We did this every night. We'd pray over our food and we'd go in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I knew the Holy Ghost was over here. Okay? So that's my first kind of thing with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Okay? But then something tragic happened in our house, in my home, is that my brother was killed in an accident. And it was... that's all I can say, right? He was about 20 years old, and he's my twin brother. So you all talk about my brother Johnny, who is in heaven. But it was very interesting. That tragedy actually drove me. Now, God did not do this. God does not steal, kill, and destroy. Kill, kill, kill. He doesn't do that. But it was very interesting. That tragedy drove me and actually part of my family at that time to search God. And I, like yesterday, I can tell you where I was and the pain and the crying out to God. God, if you're real, I need to know. And I'd been raised in this Catholic church, and I'd been my first Holy Communion, and I'd been confirmed. But it was so interesting. I really didn't know. So I was crying out, God, I need to know. I need to know if my brother's in heaven, like this stuff says. And I started crying out. God, if you're real, I need to know. I need to know. You know why I needed to know? Because I wanted to know where I was going someday. You know, I was definitely heartbroken about my brother, but you know, when it comes down to it, it's all about me, right? It is. We are like that. So I start crying out, God, I need to know. And because I needed to know what happens when you die. And the reason why is because I didn't have a personal relationship. Okay. Yes, I went to Mass. Yes, I went to confessional. For all of those of you who don't know, you will go into a box. The box flies open, and you confess your sins to this priest, so you can feel good when you get out and do it all over again. So, but you know what it is? Because I was trying to live my life my way, and all of a sudden it was real that my living my life my way might be kind of horrific. So, one day came, and I asked. The one day. Guys, one day. Think about that. One day will take the breath away and make you weep. One day. That's all you need. One day. And I met Jesus. He'd been knocking on my door. He was probably flashing lights forever. And I met Jesus. And guys, he radically changed my life. Now, you would have thought, if you looked at me, I saw you the next weekend. No, no, no. He radically changed my life on the inside. And the day you meet Jesus, he will radically change you on the inside. On the inside, you become brand new. And listen, I was pretty dirty because the Bible says all have sinned. And I was a sinner. Now, some of you are probably really top A sinners. And I just thought I was an average Joe sinner. But the thing was, I was a sinner. And because of that, my life was separated from God. But on that one day, when you ask Jesus Christ into your life, life comes into you. You're no longer separated. It's radical. So everybody say, radical Christianity. That's what goes on inside of you, radical. And that radical change of life on the inside of me was actually the holy who doing life on the inside of me. That brand new radical D was the holy who did it, put life on the inside of me. All right? So, now, there's varying degrees that you can have this holy who, Holy Spirit, in your life. Okay, you can either be, oh, no way, I'm just fine without it, thank you so much, not at all. You can be that, or you can be the bunch that says, gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy, I want it all, right? You can do that, all right? So, now listen, how many of you, I think it was last year, because I still have my ladies' Bible study, and how many of you have iPhones? How many of you remember the upgrades that came? Was it last year, the upgrades? Maybe it was 2 years ago. But we're all sitting around the table. It's supposed to be doing the Bible study, and everybody's got their phones out. Did you get the upgrade? Look, whoa! Okay, iPhone came out with an upgrade, and it was supposed to make it look cool and pretty and easy. The only problem is it took them a little while to get all the easy going. Okay, it did. But, so you could get this upgrade. Now, sort of like the Holy Spirit. Think about it. The Holy Spirit, you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. He makes you brand new. And you can just be a Christian. Thumbs up, just a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I have eternal life. And that's good. Or you can be the Christian that says, I want the free upgrade. Think about that. You can get a free upgrade. And then you're cool and pretty. And actually, what happens with the free upgrade for a Christian is you become empowered by this holy who? Holy Spirit empowers you. Okay, so I'm smarter than a fifth grader. I think the upgrade's pretty good, right? Okay, now, interesting. Okay, with this upgrade, everybody say upgrade, comes a relationship. That's the upgrade. The upgrade is a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say this over and over. The relationship, the upgrade that brings the relationship does not make you weird or scary. And you go, whoa. Okay. Now, when I was raised in the Catholic Church and we had the bishop come and said, receive the Holy Spirit, I never saw anything weird in the Catholic Church, in a mass service, all right? I never did, because you know why? They didn't do anything with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this. If you are a Catholic right now, there has been a revival in the Catholic Church. But back when I was, okay, so I'm not shooting you. I'm just going to build a story, okay? Don't take it personal, okay? Because I told Diane, I said, I am very grateful for my upbringing because I had a God conscious. Oh, yeah. I knew. I knew about. I just didn't have it, okay? So I never saw anything weird in the Catholic Church. Matter of fact, we did the same thing every Sunday. You do this, you do this, you do this. 30 minutes, you're out of here. Isn't that wonderful? When you're not saved, that's great. 30 minutes, right? 30 minutes. We're North Jersey, man. We are on the run. We're out of there, okay? But then the day came, I became a Pentecostal. Anybody Pentecostal? There's a lot of you in here. Because if you understand Acts chapter 1, you will raise your hand. Okay, so there's a bunch of us in here that are Pentecostal. All right? But being Pentecostal does not mean weird and scary. Say weird, scary. It means you don't act weird. You don't act scary. All right? And you don't blame everything on the Holy Who, the Holy Spirit. Being Pentecostal, you're not supposed to do that. And you know, so and they all do something interesting, and you go, oh, and they'll say, oh, that was the Holy Spirit did that. It's like, let me tell you, Pastor Jim Law, and he's a Second Chance Prison Ministry. Sit around and talk stories about prisons, you know, I just don't know a lot about. But he was telling me about this guy who later came to Jesus through the Bible studies up there, and the guy was in prison for killing a man. And Jim said, why did you do that? Pentecostal. The Holy Ghost told me to do that. No, 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 no. So if you're taking notes today, write this down. Number one goes on the refrigerator, right? The Holy Who, the Holy Spirit, will never, never, never tell you to do something that's not in your Bible. Wave your Bible, okay? He will never, never. Write this down. Especially if this is your first time. Okay. Such as, oh my. Oh my, okay, you know, I've been around a while in being born again in Pentecostals, charismania, and all that stuff. But there was, oh, I lost my thought, hallelujah. Good thing we have notes here. Okay. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, okay. I don't know how many times somebody will say, the Holy Spirit told me to marry you. And I'm already married to that guy. I have heard that. I could make money off of that. Guys, that's not the Holy Spirit. You know why I know? It's not in the Bible. When you get married, you make a covenant. It's a life thing. It's like those ducks. They're for life. All right? And you know why I know that? Because that goes against the Word of God. That goes against the Word of God, all right? And also, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son, that's called the Trinity, they're one. And they don't go after each other, all right? So that's why I know when someone says, oh, the Holy Spirit told me to marry you. Just, you know, all right. So, again, number one, the Holy Spirit will never, 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 never tell you to do something that's not in the Word of God, all right? So, now, this is something interesting. Remember last week we talked about Jesus being baptized in the River Jordan? He's trucking on down. He's going to get baptized by John. And then when he got baptized, they put him under water. He came up, and it says the Holy Spirit, the Holy Who, came upon him. All right? Now, before that day, Jesus, about 30 years of age, had never done one single miracle, no sign, no wonder, no nada. All right? Think about that. You never read that he did anything like that. So, okay. So let me ask you this. Do you know anybody more anointed than Jesus? You know anybody more filled with the Holy Spirit than Jesus? I know Granny was amazing, but no, okay? So, let me ask you another question. When we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, these are all the stories of Jesus. It's Jesus' life. Do you ever see Jesus being weird? Scary? Squirrely? Nuts, fruits, and flakes? Now listen, he did amazing things, but he didn't do weird. Pentecostals. Okay, he didn't do weird. Such as the wedding feast at Cana. He turns water into wine. Now, I don't think those people were going, ooh, that was scary. No, they didn't do that. They're like, cool, we got more wine. Especially if you weren't saved. Yay! Hallelujah! Wonderful, all right? That Jesus didn't do something weird. Amazing, outstanding. Okay, how about that funeral procession that was down the street? This young boy, I can't remember if it's a boy or a man, died, and his mom, that he stops the whole thing, and he prays for this guy, and he comes back to life. Was that scary or weird? Those aren't words I'd use. What I'd say, wonderful, amazing, not scary or weird, right? So Jesus didn't go around doing scary and weird, all right? And he was full of the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit came upon him that day, right? Okay. Now, the church has kind of got a bad rap going on the Holy Spirit. They do, right? And because, number one, the Holy Spirit's supposed to empower us. Number two, he does not make us weird. I'm going to say this over and over and over, all right? He does not make you weird. All right, I can tell you my first weird encounter with a Pentecostal lady. I feel like it's yesterday. We're at this little church out up that way, and I think Jack and I, we were dating. I think Mom and Dad, yeah, we were just dating. So we go to this service, and it's an evening service. I can't remember if it's a midweek or a night. And they're doing their worship, and something catches my eye. There's this lady doing, I call it the chicken chopped her head off. And I'm going, now I'm newly born again, completed Catholic. I grab Cashman, I'm going, I'm out of here. That's weird, okay? Weird, all right? Because, okay. Everybody, he does not make you weird. He doesn't make you do things. He doesn't make you act weird. Okay. So when I say we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, just go, okay. Right? The Holy Hope, right? You know what I found out? If you were acting weird, and then you know the sad part? She had a little girl with her next to her, and she looked up. Now I got two weirds going on. And I am grabbing Jack. I'm out of here. Because you know, I'm so sweet when I get like that, right? Okay? Listen, if you are acting weird, it's because you were weird already. All you Pentecostals that have seen this, don't say anybody's name, all right? I have this pastor friend out in Ohio, and he told this story, honest to goodness, okay? He said, it was, and they're a large church. Back in the day, he was preaching up on the platform, and they've done their worship part of the service, and he's in his message, talking, in his message, teaching. And this gentleman walks up, okay, I can't even do this, gets on the ground, he starts doing push-ups in front of the pastor, the whole congregation. And the pastor said, man, this is weird. He's thinking that. And he taps him and he says, excuse me, could you stop? And, you know, we're always mic'd up. And the guy's looking at him like, P-p-p-p-p-p. And finally he stops and he leaves. So you know who the pastor talked to right after church? Not any of you at the front door. He ran and found that guy, and he said, hey, What was going on? He said, the Holy Spirit told me to do it. Weird. Okay? Now, most of you probably have some more weird stories. So, you know what? When that happens, and when that person says that, all the wiffle brains go, oh, I guess the Holy Spirit told you to do that. That's cool. No, nobody got born again because you're doing push-ups on the ground. Nobody got set free. Guys, think. All right? So, the Holy who? The Holy Spirit is not weird, right? Not weird, not weird. So I have to say this. Many of the things that have happened in our churches, plural, churches, the weird stuff is not the Holy Spirit, okay? It's not the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to tell you the good stuff about the Holy Spirit. Okay? Turn over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I'm going to give you some scriptures eventually. All right. You know what happens when when churches see weird stuff and people come to your weird church services, then they don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. Listen, it took a while till I was back in the boat because of that chicken lady. You know. And so what happens is people stay far away from when you say the Holy Spirit, right? They stay far away. I'm out of here. That's it. No way, Jose. All right? And then what happens is a church without the Holy Spirit is a dead church. Okay, now I'm not saying they don't do great things. Okay, please. But I'm talking about the Holy Spirit is the one that brings life to you. So what do you think he brings to a church? Life. All right? You love me? Say, this is good, Pastor D. Just love this. This is so good. All right. Without the Holy Spirit, I believe the Holy Spirit can't do what he wants to do in churches and in people in churches. Okay? And what we need is an infusion of the Holy Spirit, all right? Especially in the days that we're living. I used to argue, oh, it's so much worse now. I'm like, no, it isn't, because I was in the 70s. You should see what we did. And then I started hearing, talking to people on, it's bad. So don't you think you need a Holy Spirit to be a helper on the inside? Why would you get creeped out, scared out, and squirreled out? No, you need them, okay? So I will say this. I don't know what number on. The majorities of things that happen in churches are man's traditions. Everybody just write one word, man's traditions. Those are two words, sorry about that. Write down man's traditions. Now, such as in the Catholic Church, they've got their traditions. You just know how that service is going to go. And then in a lot of churches, they've got the bulletin, and you follow the bulletin. And then the charismanias came along and thought, we are so much better, and we just ditched the bulletin, but we still do our traditions. Two fast songs, two slow songs, you know, and so on and so on. So, because we do, okay? Churches have traditions. I could go on a whole bunch of that. But interesting, you can be in some churches, nobody point or say anything, and they get on that keyboard and they hit that one note, and everybody's, woo, glory, and they're lapping around, running around, okay? Tradition. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's a tradition thing. I'm not saying it's really a God thing, but it's not a bad thing. It's kind of fun. Remember Larry? Wow, wow. He gets you. Yeah, it was fun, all right? And I do know the further south you go in churches in America, the more emotional they get. They get their hankies, and, you know, they come out. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just going to say, really, I don't think it's a Holy Spirit thing, okay? It's not a bad thing, but maybe it's not really a Holy Spirit thing, all right? So, tradition. All right, moving on. Listen, if you're taking notes, write these two things down. Jesus is the gift to the world. Jesus is the gift to the world. And the Holy Spirit, though, is the gift to the church, all right? So, the day you receive Jesus, he is the gift to to the world. All right. So how many, you know, if you've received Jesus, he's the gift to the world. He's now changed you on the inside. You now have life. You are radically changed. You're a brand new person. You're a brand new guy. You're a brand new girl. That's what Jesus, the gift of Jesus, is to the world. All right. Now, after that, oh, let me just say this. When you receive, when you say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I am tired of running it. And I need you to come into my life. I need you. And he comes in and he makes you brand new. Now, sometimes it takes some time. It's called the renewing of your mind. So with the inside, we sang a song, works on the outside. What this new stuff, this new life that's on the inside, takes time to work itself on the outside, right? Okay, so that's what happens when you get born again. But the, you know, when people say, well, what's the biggest miracle you ever saw? And I've seen people get out of wheelchairs. I've seen legs grow out. I've heard, ears open up, okay? Those are great miracles, right? Guys, you know what the biggest miracle? It's what the Holy Spirit does on the inside of a person. Because they were dead, and now life comes in. That's like raised from the dead, okay? So the greatest miracle is when someone says, Jesus, I receive you. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Bam. It's just incredible, right? Listen, because it says, old things have passed away, old things have become new. I was ready for everything old to pass away. It was kind of horrific thinking about all that old stuff, so I like that, all right? Now, everybody say, God's gift to the world is Jesus. God's gift to the church? Yes, they're paying attention. Now, God's gift to the church is any church. Oh, pastor, you don't know where I came from. No, it's called the church. And when you're born again, you now sit in the chair that says you're a part of the church. You're a part of the church because you're born again. You're a part of the church because life of God, and you're brand new. So God's gift is to anybody, anybody's church. It's supposed to be, okay? Now, some churches don't want any of that. And they just don't want to hear it. And that's because y'all been weird. Not you, the other people, right? Been weird and squirrely and nuts, fruits, and flakes. But listen, more than anything, I love when the Holy Spirit's, we have a quote. Everybody say, quote, move of God. I love that. We had a move of God in the worship service. And those were wonderful things. But more than having a move of God, more than in our services or in our meetings, you know what I want for you guys? I want you to have a 24/7, a Monday through Saturday. You come here and you're like, oh, it's so cool. Oh, my gosh, I could have laid on the floor. There's such a move of God, okay, because nobody did the chicken thingy, all right? But it's just a real sweet spirit. But more than that is what you do with a relationship. More than having a move on a Sunday, I want you all to have a personal relationship with this Holy Spirit, okay? Because he is a gift. He's a gift. He's a good gift. He's the best upgrade. And he's a relationship, right? He's a relationship. And you know about this relationship, this Holy Spirit? He wants to connect in your life, and he wants to help you. He wants to help you. Now, how many of you, since you've received Jesus, you're part of the church, how many of you have found out you need some help some days? If you did not raise your hand, you're in pride. Because you need help. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs help. Listen, Pastor D, I need help. And listen, DD, I need help. Ma D, I need help. I need help in every area of my life. All right, and that's what the Holy Spirit, he wants to bring you into a deeper relationship so he can help you. Help. Help. John chapter, I'm not lost. John chapter 14, now you can't open to all of them, but just stay at John 14. But think about John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter 16. Jesus is hanging out at a table with food. It's called the Last Supper, right? He's hanging out with his disciples. He's hanging out with his disciples, and he starts telling them that he's giving them all these last-minute instructions. I love Buck and Joanne. They'd come and stay at my house. I had a book of all the instructions of what to do when they were in charge of four kids. Pray! So Jesus is giving them the book, but he's really talking. Blah, 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 before you leave. Blah, 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 before you leave. And don't forget this. Blah, blah, blah. How many of you moms, when somebody comes to babysit, you give them all, blah, 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 tell them, and your husband's dragging out of the house. Go, come on, let's go, woman, let's go. Well, here's Jesus. He's about ready to die on the cross, and he's telling them all these last-minute instructions, okay? It starts in John 14, 15, and 16. And as soon as he says, I'm going to die, I'm going to leave you, they are bummed and sad. And he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be bummed. Don't be sad. Okay? Do you remember that part? And he's saying that. And then, just recently, Charles Capps, I told you this, went home to be with Jesus in the ripe age of 80-something. And the Holy Spirit, who is the revealer, I'm going to give you the next part of my lesson, the revealer of things to come, told him, I'm going to take you home in 3 days and you'll die in your sleep. So you know what Charles probably did? Because if I knew I was going to die in 3 days, I'm going to give my family some instructions. Okay, I'm going to make sure things are right, and I'm going to tell them how much I love them, and I'm going to tell them don't forget to do this and cut the lawn, okay? I want this place looking good when I'm gone. Okay, so Jesus is about ready to die. And he's giving these men that he's hung out with for 3.5 years, who he loves dearly, he's giving them special instructions, okay? And part of the instructions, write this down. He says, I'm going to send you someone. He's going to die, and he says, I'm going to die, and I'm going to go to heaven, and when I'm in heaven, I'm going to prepare a place for you because I'm going to bring you there someday. But while I'm up there, and you're still down here, I'm sending someone to you, the Holy Spirit. Right. And he says he's going to be someone just like me, the Holy Spirit. So why do we creep out on that? He said, Jesus is saying, I'm going to send someone just like me. All right. And listen, he's someone who's going to help you. And you know why? You know why I said that? He says, because Jesus helped them for those 3.5 years. Just helped them have food, have money, cast out devils. I mean, just all these things that they did. Jesus was their helper. Jesus helped them. They went to him for everything. They went to one man for everything. And now this one man was going to die. And praise God he was going to die. Praise God, right? Praise God he was going to die for us. And he was going to go to heaven. He says, well, I'm going to send someone who's just like me to be your helper. All right, now, you've heard this said over and over. While Jesus was walking on the earth, he could be at one place at one time. I can remember kids yelling my name, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Ma, upstairs, Ma, downstairs, Ma, they're fighting, Ma, 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 there's only one me. Well, Jesus was one Jesus on the earth, but then he was going to go to heaven and give the Holy Spirit, who'd be in everyone all the time, anytime, whenever you need him, Ma, 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 okay? Do you remember those days, Jerome? Oh my gosh. Shoot. Okay, John 14, verses 25 and 26. Jesus is going to die. He's sending a helper, someone just like him, and he says, I'm out of here. John 14, verses 25 and 26. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Jesus is talking about the someone, the holy who. Okay, John 14, verses 25 and 26, the Amplified. 25, yeah, I did say that. I have told you these things while I'm still with you, but the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. Oh my gosh, thank you. And he will cause you to recall, remind you, and bring to remembrance everything that I have told you. So Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. Don't be sad, because I'm going to send somebody. He's called the Comforter. Everybody say Comforter. Now, in the Greek, that word means, let's see if I can say this. Parakletos. Don't record it, because I'm sure I didn't do it right. But you, listen, I'm not doing this to sound so, oh, look what I know, Greek. But you need to know this parakletos word means comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, standby, strengthener. Did I get seven of them? Okay, they're up there, all right? So listen, this parakletos, besides those seven definitions, means one who's called to stand by and help another. One, capital O-N-E, the one, the Holy Spirit. He was sending one who would be to stand by together with you to help you. Okay, that's the upgrade. How many raised hands for upgrades, right? Gee whiz. So he says, I'm leaving, but I'm sending somebody who's going to stand right along your side, not next to you. So we can be in a room, and Dolores is standing next to me over here. It's kind of next to me compared to you guys all the way in the back. But he says, listen, I'm going to send somebody who's going to stand alongside to be your helper, to be the anointed one in your life, inside of you. So how many want that upgrade? Gosh, that's great. Now, how many have found out that you need help since you've been born again, right? Yep. All right. Now, those seven definitions of the comforter, the parakletos, the one, and, you know, comforter, well, I get the comforter. Have you ever had your heart broken? Need a little comforter? You know, I say the big blankie. Wrap you with a blankie. Well, you hold those babies and you wrap them up in that blankie and they're just, they're just wonderful. That's the Holy Spirit. He's a comforter. All right? He's a comforter. He's a counselor. People ask me all the time, Pastor D, do you do counseling? I said, no, I do not, but I invite the counselor in. And when you get into tough times, invite the counselor. And I didn't have to pay to go to school. All right? Comforter, counselor, helper. We all talk about helper, advocate, intercessor. We'll talk about more of that later. Standby. Oh. Standby. Standby. Have you ever heard everybody ditch out on you? I mean, I've had a real, I'm not talking about, you know, it's time to clean the house and all the kids disappear. I'm talking about, yeah. No, I'm talking about you're going through something in life and people who you thought would be by you, not because they're dumb. Yes, they're dumb. Not because they're evil. They just forgot, okay? The Holy Spirit will be there. He doesn't forget you. All right? He says, you know, even though you feel like you're an orphan, he said, I'd never leave you. Okay? So that Holy Spirit's always there. And strengthening. You're in the middle of a battle and you're going, oh my gosh, I can't do another day. Oh my gosh. I used to say that every day with four little kids. 2 years apart, every day. Oh my gosh, I can't do another day. And he said, I'd strengthen you. I'd empower you so you can do it. I looked back and I thought, holy moly, we did it. All right? Okay, so those seven descriptions of the Holy Spirit. Who wants the upgrade? Man, how could you not? Right? I love the upgrade. So, I want to encourage you more than anything else, not that we have moves in our service, because yes, I do, is that you would have a deeper, you would say, I want this gift to the church. I want this gift to me. I want a deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus. And listen, he brings you deeper, not weirder. He brings you deeper, not weirder. He brings you deeper, In a relationship, he doesn't bring you weirder. Okay. Smile. Pastor D, you're not weird. I'm not weird. Okay. Now, this thing, what I found out when I went in, when I said, Jesus, I want you into my life, and I had life imparted me, and then I found out there was another gift, another upgrade, and I said, I'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I received the Holy Spirit. Not when I was a Catholic, later on. So I received the Holy Spirit and I started having this deeper relationship because of this Holy Spirit. And then, you know, it's real interesting that I noticed is he starts speaking to me. Do you remember the first time? I think he's speaking to me. I was like, oh, that's what you guys are talking about. People would say, oh, the Holy Spirit said this, Holy Spirit said that. But, you know, that day, it connected. And I was like, oh, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. And listen, if you want to have a relationship with your spouse, there's got to be some speaking going on. Or you're in the doghouse and you're on the way for a divorce, right? There's speaking going on. Well, listen, the Holy Spirit likes to speak Not to your dog. He likes to speak to you. He likes to speak to people. That's what the Holy Spirit does in a deep relationship. He'll start speaking to you. All right? Anybody tell me, oh, Pastor D, I've heard that. I've heard the Holy Spirit talk to me. All right? Okay, Comforter, John 14, 26. The Comforter, now I'm going to jump in the second part. The Comforter whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me, to act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. He will cause you to remember, to recall, to remember all the things I've said. All right. So what Jesus is saying is the Holy Spirit, listen to that. I'm going to say it again. The Father's going to send him in my name, in my place, to represent me and to act on my behalf. The Father's going to send him in my place to represent me, to act on my behalf. So basically, I'm making you stretch a little out of your box. So basically, what he's saying, Jesus is saying, this Holy Spirit is basically Jesus. He's going to represent Jesus, act like Jesus, talk like Jesus, say what Jesus says. So you could say the Holy Spirit, ta-da, is basically Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, when you receive him and you ask him to fill into your life, he empowers you and he'll talk to you, and then you don't get weird. He moves through you. You don't get weird. Everybody say weird. I'm going to give you that finger. Don't you get weird. All right. And what happens is he starts moving in your life and you act on his behalf. You act out. You ever say a kid act out? Not good. See those kids? Oh, that kid's acting out. The Holy Spirit wants to act out, a good act out, not weird, in your life. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when I say I was filled with the Holy Spirit, well, he's going to act through me, and I'm going to represent him. He's going to act through me, and I'm going to represent him. So, again, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you want to know who Jesus is, and you read, and you should be acting like him. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over and over and over. You keep reading it over and over, and then you say, Jesus, I want to act like you. I want to represent you. And people go, well, I don't know how Jesus is. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not weird, not squirrely. Just read it over and over and over, and you'll start acting like him. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Again, Jesus never did anything until the Holy Spirit came upon him. Doesn't that blow your circuits? Jesus never did any miracles until the Holy Spirit came upon him. Jesus never did one single sign or miracle till the Holy Spirit came upon him. So who do you think you are? Some of us aren't doing nothing because we haven't. Whoa, Vanessa, we don't want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. Okay, so maybe we're not doing stuff because we've not let the Holy Spirit come in our life. All right? And I'm telling you, he wants to do stuff. He wants to do stuff. Now, question. Who's ever seen the Antique Roadshow? I just have fun watching that show. I really want to go through my mother-in-law's house and check it out. Because I know what I have in my house. There's no antique stuff, all right? But, you know, Antique Roadshow, they show up at a city, and all these people swarm in with their little red wagons and stuff, and they unpack it, and they bring all this old, hopefully antique stuff, right? Did anybody, you like that? And then hopefully some man walks up to them and goes, oh, what do you have here, lady? And then you take out this plate that your grandmother gave you and supposedly her grandmother gave you and supposedly her grandmother gave you. And the guy says, this is a blah, 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 blah. And it was made in blah, 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 blah by Paul Revere. I'm going to throw that at 17 something or other. And it's worth $50,000. See, I'm going to go to somebody's house here. Okay, $50,000, all right? And you're thinking, oh, my Lord, I've had this thing down on the basement. It used to be Uncle Pat's ashtray. Oh, boy. My brother lived with me, and he was coming out of stuff. So now you take that $50,000 plate, and you put it in the china cabinet. And one day you go out to lunch, right, I don't know, go grocery shopping, and you come home. And your husband, Lane, is pulling that thing out of the microwave with Chef Boyardee on top of it. Think about it. Okay, you know there's a conversation coming. What do you think you're doing?
doing? You're never allowed to touch that thing. Don't even touch it. It goes in the china cabinet as an ornament so everybody can see. And you're lucky to be alive. $50,000, you know? Okay. Actually, so funny, but that's actually what we've done with the Holy Spirit. I'll walk up to people, and, you know, as I get to know them, I said, hey, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? They go, oh, back in 1992, Pastor D, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came into my life. I go, well, that's really great. What has he been doing recently in your life? Oh, Pastor D, man, I had an encounter in 1972 with the Holy Spirit. And then I'll go, well, I mean, like today, has he done anything? Has he moved through your life? Listen, the Holy Spirit is current, never outdated, and he comes to live, and he wants a deep relationship with you every day. Every day. Not just Sunday, not just back in 1972. Okay? Now, turn over one more, two more chapters. Look over to John chapter 16. You know, when you say, oh, Pastor D, back in 1972, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not really what I'm talking about. I want something current. And you know what? For those of you that have, let me give an example. How about you got up that morning and you just feel this little nudging on the inside of you that says, you're up early, praying, reading your Bible, and you start praying, and you feel this, you hear this little small voice. I'll talk the next couple weeks what that is, and I'll say that a lot over and over. A still small voice, a little voice. You start hearing this thought, you need to pray for your kid. He's already left for school. He's in high school. And you need to pray because something is going to try to be bad in his life. And you go, okay. And then you just start praying, and you thank you, Father, that my son hears your voice and you direct his path. He follows your voice, and I take authority over the enemy. And then, you know, you just go on your merry way. And I had a woman, I was talking to her this past week. She works till about 10 o'clock at night. So she's a, what's that, a second shifter? And so when she comes home, she's wired, okay? 10 o'clock, pajamas, D. Cashman in bed. Right? But this woman works a different shift. She came home and she's awake, and she's just a sweet, sweet woman. And she heard, get in your car. Now, right there, I'm thinking, oh, it's one of those weird ones. She told me this story, though. She said, I just kept hearing, get in your car and drive. Get in your car and drive. And she did. She got in her car and drove 20 minutes to the other end of town. So she figured, I'll stop for gas. And she sees this young man on a bicycle. It's her son. And they've had a separated relationship the last couple years. It turned out he wrecked his car and he has a bicycle. That's how he gets around. And she pulls over and they start talking. And he just starts, how come he's mad at his mom? And she was like, I didn't even know. So I immediately apologized and told him how much I loved him. And this is what the Holy Spirit did. Put a relationship back together again. All because somebody heard, still small voice, all right? Guys, you know, we think those are just little ways. Those are little things that he wants to do every day in your life, that in a deeper relationship, so that he can come along and help. Listen, those were helps. That was the Holy Spirit, the helper, by those directions, because that relationship with that son got put back together again, and who knows what would have happened at the high school. Okay? praise God. Oh, this one someone told me recently. She works at she actually works at the hospital, and the Holy Spirit, she spends some time in the Word, and then she's up real early, so it's a real short time because she's got to be work on the job, checked in, punched in at 5:30. And she said, I'm driving to work, and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go find Susie Q. And she's like, you mean the one that's been mocking me behind my back? And the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go find her, and I want you to be nice to her. And then the Holy Spirit says, I want to do something through you to her. And then she said, oh my gosh. And she did. She found this girl, started being nice to her, and the rest is history. Listen, those are just little things, aren't they? Those are good little things. They're little things. And they're all you hearing the Holy Spirit. He's dealing with you. He's dealing with you. You hear him. And then you obey. And you do it. Then anybody, you know, didn't cost you $1 million. It was wonderful, wasn't it? Okay, I didn't lose my place. John 16, verse 12 and 13. John 16, verse 12 and 13. John 16, verse 12 and 13. I still, this is Jesus. You got red letter? This is Jesus still talking. Jesus is saying, hey, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them. However, he's like, okay, you'll just get it together later. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Who's the he, the Spirit of truth? The holy who? The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paracletos, and all those other 17s. Seven other things, right? So when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Amplified, that part says, tell you things to come. The Amplified says, tell you future. Now, right away, oh, that's crystal ball, you know, read your horoscope. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit's not that. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal God's plans he has for your life. So why would you not take an upgrade? There was a day we didn't have an upgrade, or better yet, we probably weren't turning in. Jack came home, Dee, I found this, there's this great investment. We can take X amount of dollars, $1,000, I think $2,000, and to me, that might have been $1 million, and we're going to buy silver. Well, we found out we lost it. How many of you would have liked to have had the Holy Spirit tell you things to come? Don't suck into that, right? Or how many of you have just been sideswiped in life? I mean, just something hits you, and you're laying there, and you think, man, I wish I would have only known. How many of you said that? I wish I would have only known. I wish I would have only known. I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have done that. Well, listen, the Holy Spirit is going to, in this relationship that you have, he wants to tell you things to come. He wants to tell you the future. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. You got this. All right. Okay, another thing the Holy Spirit is, he's called the teacher. Now, I have some favorite Christian teachers. I really love Rick Renner, Sparkling Gems. Amazing. Just great Bible teacher. He goes and dissects words 25 ways. You didn't know. Rick Renner, Andrew Womack. Anybody know him? Great Bible teachers. Creflo Dollar. He just takes you step by step. I never get lost or distracted. And I walk out of there going, great men of God that are Bible teachers. But the Holy Spirit is the master teacher. So if you're taking notes, who is the Holy Spirit? What is his ministry? What is his job description? Okay? Not only does he tell you things to come, the future, but he'll be your teacher. Okay? And that they say guide and teacher. Now, let me think. Vanessa, put that down. Get up here. Yeah, I caught you. She's looking in their Bible. Good. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, when I'd go hang out with my Grammy, and she was about 80 years old, she was good walking, but you know what I do? Put your arms here. I would just take her like this, and we would walk places. I would guide her gently. Now, when I had my kids, come with me. Thank you very much, okay? The Holy Spirit is sent to be your guide, teacher, and he gently does this, okay? You know it's the Holy Spirit because he never makes you do anything. Again, he doesn't make you act any simple way. Matter of fact, he doesn't even make you get saved. He doesn't make you meet Jesus. I wish he would have. I would have met him sooner. All right, but he is a gentleman, he's a gentleman, and he guides you, all right? He'll guide you through life. So who wants the upgrade? Yes, all right? Now, we all say Jesus was fabulous, right? Jesus just fabulous. He was the greatest teacher, right? You know, you hear my message last week, greatest teacher. But wait a minute, who anointed him to be?
Who came upon him to be that? Yes, the Holy Spirit. And listen, the Holy Spirit, you ask him into your life to fill you as the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He will anoint you to do things you can't. Anybody got a can't list? Oh my gosh, I got a bunch of things I can't do. I can't do. Oh my gosh. You know, he will anoint you, come upon you, move through you so you can do the things that God's called you to do. All right? Now, hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know where I am. I'm over here. Let's see. Praise the Lord. Oh my golly gee whiz. All right. Okay, let's just write down two things. The Holy Spirit's job or ministry is to guide you all to all truth. Those are the two I'm going to go over and tell you the future. Guide you to truth, tell you the future. We'll talk about the rest of the next week. Now, what happens when the church is without Jesus? Without Jesus, they're dead, but without the Holy Spirit, they're powerless. All right? You know, and church is fun. You can go to church that's without the Holy Spirit. They don't want to have the Holy Spirit, and they actually do a good job. But you know what can become? It's like a social club. I love them. You know, I say they got something for the fat people, the skinny people, the drunk people, the sober people, the little kids, So you can have churches, and they're good. They're good. They're good. All right? But how about a relationship and a power where the Holy Spirit is moving? That's what I want. Okay? That's what I want. And now I'm going to do just one more story so that you do not be weird and you do not act scary and you do not be nuts, fruits, and flakes. Sherry and I was at a conference, and I would go there. I still go there. And they're having a fabulous, wonderful worship service. I am just feeling refreshed. Matter of fact, I went there right after Pastor Jack went home, and I needed some refreshing. I was kind of like a zero. So I had a wonderful time. But then out of the corner of my eye, no way. And we got there late because of Sherry. And, you know... And we're up in the balcony of this place. And I'm looking. There's this guy down in the front. So it's like in the front. He's not on the platform. Praise Jesus. Thank you. But he's over here in the corner. And he's a gentleman probably in his 50s, 60s. And he's kind of, all right, I love people, okay? He's kind of a little nerdy because he's got his belt up to here, you know, all right? Because that's not cool right now. But you wait 10 more years, that might be cool, right? So he's got white hankies stuffed here all the way around him. And then he's got one in his hand. Now, I don't know if he's giving them away or something, and he's doing this, woohoo, 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 woohoo. And these white hankies are just fluffing around. Now, good thing I've been walking with the Lord, and I thought, pray for this man. And then I start praying for that pastor. It's Pastor Hagen. It was at his service. And I thought, Pastor Hagen, you need to do something. I was like, man. And the Lord said, shut your eyes, Dee. Just shut your eyes, shut your brain. I said, all right, all right. Anybody know John G. Lake? Well, I don't know him personally. John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, they lived at the turn of the century. Great men of God. God used them to bring light to dark places, to bring moves of the Holy Spirit. But as you read their life stories, the majority of the big moves of God were not in the four walls of a church, not when the music hit the... Okay? They were out. The power of God was moving in them as they went about their day. Went to the grocery store. Went to the train station. And because they had a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and he would speak to them, and they would listen and obey, miraculous things happen. But it wasn't in a church service. So sometimes you go, this church is, church service. Nothing. You need to be doing it 24/7. Matter of fact, that's where you practice, guys, okay? Oh, praise the Lord. Because we need to be touching people. Okay, I'm just going to shut down. I had like two more scriptures, and holy moly, here we go. Praise God. Father, how do I end this here? Father, hey, can you guys just keep in an attitude prayer right now? You've just been so sweet. Praise the Lord. I love you, but just sweet. Just a couple more seconds here. Just close your eyes, guys. Just close your eyes. I want to pray because
I believe that there's a move of the Holy Spirit here. And I don't want to miss it. All right? And if you're here today and you're going, wow. She wasn't too weird. No, wow. I didn't know. And now I know that there's someone who loves me. His name is Jesus. And he came for me. And Pastor D, I want Jesus in my life. I need a brand new life. I need it. And I want Jesus into my life. I want to be brand new. I want a new life. If there's anybody here and you're that person, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. But first, I will not be weird. I will not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. So just raise your hand if you're here and you go, Pastor D, I want Jesus to change my life. I'm ready. I'm ready for a new life. I'm ready to know that someday when I do give up this last breath, that heaven is my home. Okay, anybody here? Now, is there anybody here? And you go, Pastor D, you know, I've been far away from where I should be. And I want to come back. And you know the wonderful thing? God has always opened the doors. He keeps the doors open. He's like, come on home. Come on home. And he doesn't hold it against you, but you have to make a move. And so is there anybody here and you'd say, Pastor D, I've been far away. Yes, I knew Jesus. I've accepted him, but it's been a long time and it's been a long, hard road. And I want to accept him into my life. If you raise your hand, I want to pray for you. Okay? And lastly, if you're here and you go, Pastor D, that Holy Spirit's not weird. And I want an upgrade. I want an upgrade in my life because I need, you know, life's been good, but I want more in my life. I want to go deeper with this relationship. I need a helper. I need a counselor. I need a standby. I just need all. Matter of fact, I want all of this upgrade. Is there anybody here that you'd say, Pastor D, I want this upgrade? Or just raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Okay? Anybody? All right. Praise God. Anybody that say, I think, gee whiz, how could I not press that? Receive help. Receive a power of him working in me and through me. Okay. Praise God. Well, folks, your mission today, if you choose to accept this, is to go out and touch those people that are far from God because you have a power. You have a relationship, and they need it. They hurt so bad. It is so easy to talk. I talk to them, hey, how's your day? To every grocery person. And they'll just tell me, oh, my. I said, well, can I pray for you? Please, you are the church that's moving. And we are taking our kingdom back, this county back. Right? Because our vision is to gather, to go, grow, and go. So let's go. So stand up and you can go. Hallelujah. I love you. I love you. I see you all next week. Tonight, the last Sunday for Marriage on the Rock. Last Sunday, Marriage on the Rock. All right? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yay!